There is power. Power.
Praise God.
As you read the Bible, it's good to sometimes speak it out loud.
Yes.
It's very powerful. Because actually the word of God moves mountains. It can shake fundaments. It can take whole buildings apart. Just the word. So as you hear the word, and if you read the Bible, try to read it perfectly. For it is the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we ask our dear elder to read it in three.
Mama yiti Awurade asem. Korinto fo mo edi ka de tire ye mi enu e free ba akokop mi enu. Na menso enuanom. Me ba mo nchen no. Manfa asem anan nyansa a etra so ma meka onyankopon adanse sem no. Na me bo mi tire mu se me ren hwehwe biribiara wo mo ho. Ji Yesu Kristo ni se obon asem ye mu no. Na me de mere yeni ehu ni ahopopo bebre mu na menne motnaaye na mekasa ne masem ka amfa nipa nyansa defedefe kwanso nemum enam honhom ne tumi yikire mu na mugidie enyina nipa nyansa aso nemum agina onyankopo tumi so ka amen.
Today's theme is the demonstration of the spirit power. Hallelujah. When Apostle Paul started this epistle of Corinthians, he started to say that he was an apostle, sent by God, through the will of God, appointed to give answers, to give the light of grace to all. And so your Father in heaven, your Father, has sent somebody to talk to truth to you. This man here, this sinner, this Kasigoni, is here before you by God your Father. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And therefore I know that all will be fine. All will be good. Hallelujah. So we are talking about the demonstration of the Spirit. Paul was indeed filled with the Holy Ghost. He demonstrated it with might and power. He did great miracles. I just read one or two verses out of Acts, and he says, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. That's what the Acts writes. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So even by what his aprons, when they touched it, devils disappeared.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was power with Paul. Why was that? For he was preaching Jesus. He was preaching Jesus.
Amen.
And when you preach Jesus, the power of God is with you.
Amen.
No one can stop him. So be encouraged when you go out. He said, I have nothing else in mind than only one thing, that I preach to you Christ and him crucified.
Hallelujah.
Only one thing he had in mind. So when you go to your neighbor to preach, have only one thing in mind, Jesus.
Amen.
And him crucified. He is the Savior. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And the rest will follow. God will help you. So truly, there was a great power with Paul. But this text is a demonstration of the Spirit. It's something different he's talking about. Because he's talking about the wise man and the power of the Spirit. So he's actually about a true miracle that happens as soon as you preach Jesus. A true miracle. And that is the true power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So all these things that he did were true. He could take care of the disease, of the sick. He could do all these things. But he is talking about a different thing here in this text. And I want to exhort on that. For Paul continues in his epistle when he says, the preaching of the cross is for many foolishness. It's for many foolishness. But hallelujah for us.
Amen.
For us it is the power of God.
Amen.
All we need is that true thing, the knowledge of Christ, your Savior, in your life forever.
Amen.
That's the power he's talking about. All them that God sent preach Jesus. Jesus, the everlasting life. He is, that's all we preachers do. When they come to you, all these men here, they come to bring Christ to you.
Yes.
And bring Christ to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, make them fishermen of men. And he wants to bring you to Christ. That's all we want. That's all we want. And that's all we do. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So this Jesus is the love in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk a little bit about Jesus. If you think about Jesus, the Bible says, unto you a child is given. Unto you a son is being born.
Mm-hmm.
And upon him will be the government. And he will be wonderful. The everlasting Father.
Mm-hmm.
He will be your Prince of Peace. This Jesus is all we have to talk about. That's all we need. This Jesus is everything. So when I wrote, I was troubled. I said, what can I say? What can I do when it is about the power of the Holy Spirit? How can I explain it to the people? And when I read this text and it said, the only thing that I had in mind is to preach Christ. I said, oh, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I can preach Christ.
Yes.
I can preach about him because I love him so much.
Yeah.
But there's something that is demonstrating Christ to you. There's something that demonstrates it to you. And that is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I can preach hours about Christ. But without the Holy Spirit, nothing will happen.
Yes.
But with the Holy Spirit, all things become new.
Amen.
Amen. So with the demonstration, there's something happening inside of you. There's something happening as soon as I talk to Jesus, your heart starts beating. Oh, my Jesus. This is something that is the Holy Spirit doing in your life. So, we have a song like, there is a name that I love to hear. I love to hear his words. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name of my life. I tell you this, when I became a Christian, this was in this church. And all I knew was the three songs. And everything, every time when I hear a song with Jesus, I know it is about Jesus. So I start smiling because he's my Savior. He's my friend, he's my everything.
Yes.
So when you go out and preach, people, that is the commandment that God has given you. It's not only for the preachers, it is for you all to preach Christ or preach him with all your heart and talk about him like your best friend. And everybody wants to know him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But the wise of this world, they can speak very well. And there was 2 years ago on the news about a very, very special physician. And his name is Stephen Hawking. Do you know him, Stephen Hawking? He's in a wheelchair. He cannot talk with a computer. And it was everywhere on the news. I saw it on CNN, Holland, and this one. And he calculated. He calculated for months. And his conclusion was, there is no God. It was world news. Everybody who doesn't believe in God was saying, oh, hallelujah, there is no God. But the Bible says only a fool says in his heart,
yes,
there is no God. The wise men on this earth, without the Holy Spirit, they cannot know him. Amen.
Amen.
When we come to you, there's a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is truth. And he comes in power and might. Mark this down in your heart. There is absolutely no way you can talk about Christ if you don't know him. You cannot witness about anything if you didn't experience it. So everything that you preach, everything you say about Christ needs to come from out your own experience. I hid my whole life about Christ, but I didn't know him. I heard about his salvation, but I did not know. I hear it, but I was deaf. They showed it to me, but I could not see. But as soon as God touched you, as soon as the Spirit comes, there is a new thing happening inside of you.
Yes.
And suddenly you hear it take, this is my breath, this is my body, and it is given for you. For me, yes. For you, also. For all of us. So there is something needed before you go out in the world. You need experience. How can you say, I am found, if you were never lost? How can you say, God saved me when you were not drowning? How can you do that? Saying this sweet Jesus saved me. If you were not a wretch that was lost, a true sinner. No, you cannot. So mark this in your heart. You cannot say anything about Christ without experiencing. There are so many wise theologians, and nowadays you cannot even preach in most churches if you have not a doctor or a study of 18 years behind before you can talk about Christ. No. People can only talk about Christ when they experience it. And you have experienced Christ.
Yes.
I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
God has made you alive. So wherefore don't you speak? David says, I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. I must speak. I must speak. For I know God is true. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So the Spirit of God searches the heart. And he knows everything about you. He knows everything. Everything is what is in your mind. There is no one that knows you better than yourself. No one. Your spirit knows you. And there is a Spirit of God. No one knows God better than you. For he is one with you. And therefore, he comes to you that God may be in you. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So can a deaf hear? No. Can a blind see? No. Can a dumb person speak? No. Can a dead person come to life? No. But with his spirit. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And Zechariah, he says to Zechariah, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
Amen.
So what is impossible with man, it is possible with God.
Amen.
And therefore he says, live. Stand up. He's a quickening spirit. He has done something inside of you. It should move you. It should move you. It should excite you. It should make you peaceful, happy, glorifying God day and night. But how are we doing that? Let us read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 and 7. 5 to 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and 7. For we preach not ourselves. He's talking in a plural because he's talking about every preacher. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 to 7. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, hallelujah. That is most important to you.
Oh, my dear, Corinthians 4, my touch you in the 3 9. If you know, come on and song. Or say, and yeah, you want to any a baby catcher
more,
no Christo Yesu, so on a rabbit, any yen so, say Yesu in tea, ya monkua. If we say, a young coupon a or car say, hang every a sum, and shreno, and our shreyan a common moon. So when you coupon any moon yam a walk Christo and you no honey beer and shrey. Now ye walk, sir, a japadier ye walk. Dot ye and you need na to me a bros warno I get on yankupon dia na in free mu amen.
Amen.
Amen. As soon as God commands the light to shine in you, you come alive. You come alive. The Spirit of God is the one who cuts you asunder, who melts you, who molds you, and he will use you. Be sure of that. And we are burning vessels. If you look in the history, the early vessel was used for the least of least. We have now the small plastic bags. Yeah, small plastic bags. They're useless. You put one time a thing in, and the next time you just throw it away. You don't waste your time to clean it. You just throw it away. So it was an early vessel, insignificant, wretched, breaks easily. It's not beautiful, not painted, not nice on the outside, but God has commanded his light to shine in us.
Amen.
Wretched sinners. And what he has started to do is something very great and marvelous.
Amen.
He has made you alive. You can speak now. You can see now. You can hear now. And you are hungry for the word of God. You are hungry to grow. Amen.
Amen.
So Jeremiah, he says, there comes a day, God says, there comes a day I will make a new covenant with you.
Hallelujah.
A new covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers when they came out of Egypt. For they break everything of their covenant while I was a husband unto them. But I will make a new thing. For I will write my law in the inward parts.
Hallelujah.
I will write it. No man will tell you, no God. For they will all know me. From the least till the biggest. They will all know me. Why? Because I have forgiven them all their trespasses, all their iniquities, and I remember them no more. This is what happens in your life. And that is the greatest miracle. For now in life, you find yourself awake, knowing Christ. You say, this Christ is not a fairy tale. This Christ is not what I did about, what my mother talked about. This Christ I know for myself. I know him. He's my Savior. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is something that God has promised that he will do and is doing in your life. So, who knows better than your own spirit what God wants? And who knows better than the Spirit of God what God wants? So you have this Spirit made you alive. The Spirit is beside you. He is in you. You can talk to him. And he knows the deepest secrets of all. Amen.
Amen.
People run to prophets. People run to they even go to America to see this prophet or this person. But inside of you, hallelujah,
amen,
is the living God. You don't need to go anywhere. He's just here in you. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to say that God always starts something small. Something small. I tell you, when you see this big tree in front of the building, he's not so big that he's a danger for the fundamentals. So they want to take it away. He's so big and powerful. His roots are destroying this church. But it started with this. A small seed. An insignificant little seed. It came in the ground. And it grew big. And therefore God says, when you get my spirit, you will grow.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't think of yourself worthless. You are a very precious stone in the hands of God.
Yes.
You are not worthless.
No.
You are not worthless. Look at the thing that God said about the mustard seed. He says, the smallest of seed, but it grows big that even the fowls of the air will take lodge in it. Small things. There was a little man. He was raised in the Catholic Church. He studied the Bibles. And one day, he went to the door of his church and he hit with a nail 90 points that the church was not doing right. And because of that small man, in a close city in Germany, we are sitting here today, for he changed the whole religion in us. He brought the truth to you. Martin Luther was his name. Power in a small man. And therefore God has given you the same spirit, not to be small, but to change the world.
Amen.
To go out in the world and do a new thing. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at the apostles. They were 12. The Spirit of God came. And the same day, there were 3,000 added to them. 3,000 in one day. You think it's impossible? Yes, it is impossible with you, but with God.
It's possible.
It is possible. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I almost come to an end. I just want to say something. There is something going on in the churches nowadays, and it's troubling me a lot. And it is about not talking about Christ anymore to your neighbors, not witness the truth, but to say, I want to show my neighbor in the way I live that he should also become a Christian. So the way we do things is showing about Christ. And they go so far, they say, actually, every religion is good if I see somebody doing good. I said, so from the God of the Muslims is the same God, because I know this neighbor. He is such a sweet man. He's so good. He's so kind. He's more friendly than that other neighbor that is a Christian. So actually, if I look at him, I want to be a Muslim. This thing is going on, and it makes me very sad, because the truth is something that will set you free. Only the truth. But if we look at these people, then we realize that often we are acting like we are not knowing Christ. Often we show that we are foolish. Often we mock, often we envy, and the world sees us. And actually, if you look at that Muslims, my colleague is a Muslim, and she is a devout one. When you see her during the Ramadan, for 30 days she fasts the whole day, no drink, no food, she prays 5 times a day. If you look at her, I look at Christians and myself, I said, so from sometimes I don't even pray for 5 minutes. These people pray 5 times, half an hour. Devout people. The world sees us, and we should be ashamed of ourselves. How we behave to one another. Be blameless, the Bible says. Be blameless. Innocent as doves, but we are not, and that's how the world sees us now. We are hypocrites. We are not doing the right thing. So there is something that needs to be done in this church. For we cannot point our fingers to others; we can only point our fingers to ourselves.
Yes.
So there needs to be done something in this church. Envy has to go. Strife has to go. Hatred has to go.
Amen.
And when you see somebody misbehaving, not doing the right thing, don't cast them out. Don't judge him. Do not judge him. Because that's very dangerous. For God can show you the true nature of yourself. Peter went to Christ and says, I will never, ever, ever deny you. Maybe this man that John and that man, maybe they can. But me, never. Never. He was judging his fellow disciples. But him, he knew for sure. He says, before the cock crows twice, you have denied him 3 times. But be ye not dismayed, he said to him. You believe in God, also believe in me. Be careful to judge one another. Please be careful. God can show you who you are. So think every time of yourself. Don't cast a person out. Don't cast them out. Never cast somebody out who is misbehaving. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
For you don't want to cast out the child of God.
Amen.
don't want to cast out the child of God. You say, but this person, how can we have a church with this person in the midst of us? This person does this and this and this. He said, and he comes to the Lord's table. He said, look at Christ. He shared his wine and his bread with Judas. It doesn't harm anything if you leave the person here. Don't cast anybody out that is misbehaving. But you know what you have to do? Is help him. Pray for the person. Help him. Be kind. Patience. Always talking to the person. We are easily judging others. But I want to warn you, and this is laid upon my heart to tell you, be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Because God is doing a thing in every single one of us. And sometimes children are misbehaving, but they're still a child. Sometimes my children, sometimes they really, really want to run from the house even. They fight. Oh my God, they fight so much, I become crazy. I just want to flee. I said, if I don't flee, I will beat them so hard that I have to go to prison. I flee from them. But they are my children, don't touch them. So therefore, don't touch the children of God.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
So this thing that God has started in you is not a small thing. I want to encourage you. Christ has birthed himself in you. He has made you alive. Now you are his child. Now you are earning a spot in heaven. And he's preparing a place for you. So we need to know that this thing needs to grow. It is like a plant standing by the waters. It shall not move. It needs to grow. And you need to grow. So what I want you to do tonight is commit your heart to Christ again.
Amen.
Say, God, if I'm slack of doing your work, please change that in me right now. And use me. And let this church be a miracle, a power, a might all over the world. We have a tongue. We have power. We have might.
Yes.
Yes, and God can use us. There was a time Jerusalem was destroyed. Mm-hmm. Little people were there, very little people. And one man came and he said, you know what? Let us build a wall. Let us build a wall. And they built it. And I tell you, in 52 days, a little people building the whole wall of Jerusalem that took centuries to do. God's people built this church. Your parents built this church. You are building this church. Children, young men, you are building soon this church. So it is time for you to wake up. Come out of your sleep and start building this church. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.